Get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter number 5. No, Matthew chapter number 5. April's preaching tonight, Terry. No. Matthew chapter number 5. We began a series about 9 weeks ago now looking at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest message ever preached to mankind. And it was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ as He gathered His followers together on that hillside so many years ago to talk to them and to teach them. And He taught them a radical way of life, a way of life that was different than anything they had ever seen. The group He's talking to now, they're His intimate followers, those who have come to Him and have given up everything to follow Him, those who are searching for a relationship with the Heavenly Father. They come to Christ. And Christ begins to tell them that this relationship that they're looking for, this life that they're craving, is possible, but it's possible through something they've never thought of. See, in their time, as I believe much in our time as well, there was a religious elite that was kind of taking control of everything. They were teaching people that to know God, to have a relationship with God, then they had to obey all these rules and regulations and had to obey the laws that they had put forth. And not just the law of God, but these extra biblical laws that the Pharisees and Sadducees had come up with to try to make sure they followed everything in a way to please God so that they could have a relationship with God. And there's no way for us to please God, to earn His favor. If we earn the favor of God, it's not grace, it's not mercy. And so they were teaching that they had to earn God's favor, had to earn God's righteousness. And then they have Jesus coming and saying, that's not the life God has for you at all. That's not what God expects of you at all. And so He begins to teach a different way of life, a radical way of life that is different than anything they had ever seen. And this life is not only different from anything that those gathered had heard, but it's different from a life that most of us are used to living. Most of us today, we're not used to living this radical life that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount. And so, after giving the Beatitudes, and we spent 8 weeks looking at the Beatitudes, a way of life that is made possible through Christ, and after giving us the Beatitudes, Jesus transitions and starts to give us our mission to tell us what that radical way of life looks like when it's lived out in our lives. And He gives us our mission on earth. So let's read real quick in Matthew chapter number 5. We'll read verses 13 down to verse 16. Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll get to our message this morning, simply entitled, Be the Light. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege that we have to come together, God, and to worship you. Now, Lord, thank you so much for how good you have been to us. But, Lord, I pray that right now you would be even better to us, God. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to, Lord, take control of the service. God, Lord, we don't need to hear what my opinion is or what I have to say. God, we need to hear from heaven this morning. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be very real, would be very evident, that, Lord, you would have complete control to move in our hearts, God, and to do a work in our lives this morning. Lord, I pray that you would move through each and every chair. I pray that you would speak to each and every heart today. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. Speak through me this morning. God, help me to say what needs to be said, what should be said. And God, help me not to say what I should not say. But God, help everything that's said and done bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I kind of want you to picture what's going on right here in the Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about it several times, but really imagine it. Jesus has just very recently began his earthly ministry. He's called his apostles to him. He's got these 12 men together to help him and to follow him. He's performed one miracle already in Canaan. And so he's already done a miracle. He started to teach people, started to heal people, started to be a blessing to people. And so, of course, a crowd gathers. And this crowd that's gathered around him is those who are searching for something. It's those who truly believe him. Yes, there are in the crowd, though, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are there to kind of accuse him or to see what he's saying wrong so they can take him down. But the majority of the people gather there on that day, there are those who believe he's the Messiah. who understand who He is. They have placed their faith in Him. And so He gathers these people together and He starts looking around the crowd and He doesn't see the darkness in their hearts. He doesn't see the darkness that they are. But He sees the darkness of the world around them. And He tells them, He goes, this world is a dark place. And you're the light that this world needs. As dark as the world was over 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke these words to that crowd, it's even darker today. We live in a very dark world. And Christ is telling us today in 2015, saying, you are the light that the world needs. Jesus is telling them and He is telling us, you're on a mission. We each have a mission from God. And we saw last week that mission that God gave us is to live out this radical life that He has explained. This life He has invited us into. To live out this radical life in the ordinary places that we live. In our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. God's saying these ordinary places that you live in, that you work in, that you associate with people in, these ordinary places, these are the places I want you to live out this radical life that I've invited you into. As we allow Christ to live His life in and through us, Jesus says we become the light of the world. In these verses, Jesus gives two illustrations, two examples of what this mission looks like lived out. The first one He says is, you're the salt. Be the salt of the earth. And we saw that last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and listen to that sermon to see what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the salt of the earth. But He goes, you're the salt of the earth and you're here to preserve the earth, to keep the earth pure, to help the earth and to flavor the earth. But He goes, not only are you the salt of the earth, He says, you're the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Seven words. But these seven words have an incredible impact on our lives today. So we're going to study these seven words today. We're going to break this sentence down. How many of y'all in school, in high school, in English class, you would diagram sentences? Y'all remember diagramming sentences? How many of you liked it? Y'all are crazy. We're going to diagram this sentence today. We're not really going to diagram it like we did in English class, but we're going to break this sentence apart and we're going to examine each word. Each little phrase, and we're going to see how it applies to us today and applies to our lives today. The first word we're going to look at is the word you. Now the Greek word is the word ye. But if you have a Strong's Concordance, you have a blue letter Bible, and you look up that word ye in the Greek, it means you. I feel silly saying ye. So I'm going to say you. So it says you are the light of the world. Now, when we hear that word you in English, we kind of really have a different meaning than it did for in their time. You know, in our time, the word you can be either singular or plural. I can say you, JT. I'm talking to him. He wasn't paying attention. That's why I'm calling him out now. He was. I can say you, JT, go turn off the lights. And I'm talking to him singular. Or I can say you, talking to the whole church, let's go outside and enjoy a service outside because it's a beautiful day. So you can mean either one person or you can mean two people. Now, we're in the South, so we have a different word when we're talking to a crowd. It's y'all. So it's you, y'all, or if it's a big crowd, it's all y'all. But in Jesus' day, they didn't have as many, you'd meant more than one thing. So the word you is a simple word. It's something that we use all the time, but it means the one. Here in the Greek, it means the one or ones being addressed. But the word you there that Jesus used when He says you are the light of the world, it has some powerful meaning. First thing we notice about the word you is the word you is an inclusive word. When He was talking, He didn't say you apostles. He didn't say, hey, you prophets. He didn't even say, hey, you just gathered here on this hillside today. He didn't say, you pastors, you missionaries, you Sunday school teachers, you small group leaders, you people who are in full-time ministry. It doesn't mean just a certain group of people. When Jesus said you, He meant every single child of God. He says all of you are the light of the world. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way. He said the danger is that we may read a statement like this and think about somebody else. The first Christians or Christian people in general. But it is ourselves to whom it refers if we truly claim to be Christians. See, a lot of times what we do when we read a word like that, the you, we say, oh, that you refers to you, somebody else. It doesn't refer to you, me. Jesus isn't talking to me. He's not saying I'm the light of the world. He's saying you, somebody else, is the light of the world. But Jesus includes every child of God when he says, you are the light of the world. The word you here is plural, meaning more than one person. What Jesus is saying in our southern vernacular is all y'all are the light of the world. Every single child of God, amen, Jesus said, is the light of the world. So this morning, if you're saved, this applies to you. Jesus isn't saying, hey, you apostles. He's saying, you, child of God, you are the light of the world. This is an important role played in the kingdom of God. It's not meant for a select group. Jesus isn't saying, I've got a select group of Christians and they will be the light of the world. He says, no, every single child of God is the light of the world. Some of the people he was talking to on that day, they'd only been saved a few hours. They hadn't dedicated their life to Christ. They'd only accepted Him as the Messiah maybe a few hours ago, a few hours before. And here is Jesus saying, hey, you right there, you new Christian, you new convert, you new believer, you're the light of the world. And not only are they, but every single child of God is the light of the world. So it's an inclusive word. The word you is a personal word. The word used here is emphatic. Meaning it doesn't only apply to all of us, but applies to each one of us individually. It doesn't mean just the whole realm of Christianity, every child of God collectively is the light of the world. Yes, we are all the light of the world, but he also says not only you collectively, but you individually. You are the light of the world. It could be said this way. You yourself are the light of the world. You know, sometimes I think that we figure when he talks about, he's talking to the Christian, he's talking to the church. So the church is the light of the world, and that's not what he's saying. He's not saying the church as a whole is the light of the world. He's saying the church, yes, as a whole is the light of the world, but you individually, you yourself, you're the light of the world too. It's your responsibility to shine the light into darkness. He is not only talking to the person, he's not only talking to us as a crowd, but he's talking to the person sitting next to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to every single one of us. I want all of us to do something right now. Look at the person right next to you. Say, he's talking to you. Say it. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to all of us collectively, but he's talking to all of us individually. He says, you, yourself, you alone are the light of the world. Not only is it a personal word, not only is it an inclusive word, but it's also an urgent word. The parsing here in this text is personal irregular. What it means is Jesus says that you personally fulfill this need, but not only do you personally fulfill this need, you are the only one to do it. There is no other light. Jesus says. He says, you and only you are the light of the world. There's no other light anywhere else, Jesus says. He says, the light's not going to be found in the world. The light's not going to be found in some other culture or some other society or some other organization. He goes, the light that the world needs is found in you and you only. You know what that means? If we don't shine our light, the world won't see it. The world will be in darkness if we don't shine our light. Could be said this way. Each and every one of you and only you are the light of the world. If we don't shine our light to the darkness, they'll never see. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Next word we're going to look at is are. You are. The word are here is a state of being verb. It's what you are. It's a linking verb to say you, the subject, are this thing. You are the light of the world. Jesus did not tell us that one day we would be the light of the world. He says the moment you got saved, you became the light of the world. The moment you became a child of God, you became the light of the world. It's not something you're going to be in some future date when you're good enough or earn it or work hard enough. He goes, right now you are the light of the world. He didn't tell us that it's something that we have been. He didn't say you have been the light of the world. He says, no, you are the light of the world right now. It's what we are, and we never stop being the light. We are the light, and we will always be the light. Now the problem is, most of us, we don't shine our light very brightly. You know, when you buy a lamp, most of us, unless you're a bachelor right out of college, when you buy a lamp, you buy a lamp shade. All your ladies have a lamp shade on your lamp? You don't take the lamp shade off and just let the bulb burn bright. If you have a ceiling light, you put a cover on it. You put something there to kind of defuse the light so that it's not as bright as it usually is. So you're not staring directly at the light bulb, but you're seeing the light coming from the shade. You know, most of us, we shade our light. We put a cover on it, kind of dim it down. You know, when I was in college, there was a guy that I went to school with, and he worked a third shift like I did. But when he would ever go home from school, he did the same thing. He would come home from school and he would sleep for just a few hours and then get up and go to school, get up and go to work. But what he did something different than I did, and my wife wouldn't let me. In his bedroom, he covered his windows with tinfoil. So that you could be in there in the middle of the day, turn off the lights, and it is pitch black. He blocked out every bit of sunlight coming in. The sun was still there. The sun was still shining. Now it was Gary, Indiana, so it was shining kind of gray instead of yellow. But the sun was still shining. But he blocked it out. A lot of us Christians, we block out our light. Some dim it, some of us cover it up completely. Jesus says, you will always be the light once you get saved. You are the only light. You are the light right now, no matter what you're doing. You are the light of the world. This is what we are. He looked at each and every one of us and said, you and you only are the light of the world. The mission of God is not something that you will do. The mission God has for you is something you are. He says, you are the light of the world. It means that the mission that Jesus is describing is not about our activity. The mission God has for us is not about what we do. The mission God has for us has to do with our identity with Him. We are a child of God. Once you get saved, you are the child of God, and you never stop being a child of God. You are redeemed, and once you get saved, you are redeemed, and you never stop being redeemed. And Jesus says, when you become my child, you are the light of the world. You're the only light, and you never stop being the light. So we see you. We see our second, third phrase we're going to look at, the light. You are the light. Now, if you Google or go to onelook.com, which is a dictionary website I use, you go to onelook.com, you type in a word, it gives you up to 40 or 50 entries from different dictionaries about what that word is. Go to onelook.com and type in light. You'll get a whole lot of definitions. One definition is not heavy. Jesus says, you are the not heavy of the world. From personal experience, I don't believe that's what he's saying. Jesus isn't saying, hey, you're the not heavy ones of the world. Another word for light is to jump off a horse. Remember in Genesis when Jacob's daughter was coming in, she lit off a camel? Didn't mean she struck up a match and took a smoke. I mean, she lit off the camel. She jumped off the camel. That's what light means too, to jump off a horse. So I don't think Jesus says, hey, you're the ones that jump off a horse in the world. You know, the best place to be on a horse is on it. But so there are 30 different definitions for the word light here. But if you narrow the light down to what I think Jesus is talking about, because he talks about candles, to visible light, we still have several definitions. Here's one definition. Light is an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, ultraviolet, visible, and X-ray, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles per second. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about right there. Y'all stop pointing at me. You know, I'm really getting sick of this thing. I don't think that's what Christ is talking about when he says you are the light of the world. I don't think he's saying you are the ones that travel. The notes are on YouVersion. Get YouVersion. I don't think he's saying you are the ones that travel at light speed and you are X-ray and infrared and radiation. Here's another definition for light. Not dark. That's pretty simple, but I believe that's what Christ is talking about. So here's a definition that I've come up with that helps us understand what Jesus is talking about. Light is that which makes vision possible. Any of y'all ever been in some of the caverns that are around here, Luray Caverns or Dixie Caverns? You go in the caverns and they take you on a tour. And they take you way down in there and you go down several steps and you get to a real deep, secluded place and they get everybody gathered around the circle and they have all the lights going. And then typically what they'll do is they'll turn the light off. Anybody ever been there where they turn the light off? How dark is it? It's dark. It's so dark you can't even see your hand in front of your face. You know why you can't see? Because there's no light. Even if there's a little bit of light, someone flicks open their cell phone to get a little bit of light going, then you can see. Now there's not a whole lot of light. It's not a great abundance of light. It's not sunshine. But there's enough light for you to see. Light is what makes vision possible. Without light, there's no vision. Without light, you can't see. Where there is no light, there is no vision. Without light, it is impossible to see physically. And the same is true spiritually. Without light, there's no way for people to see spiritually. There's no way for them to see their need of salvation. Without light, we would never see God. Without light, we would never know the truth of God. Without light, we would never discover a way to have a relationship with God. We today are living in spiritual darkness, and those around us, they have no way of seeing God without the light. And Jesus says, you are the light. Jesus tells us, there's no way the lost world is going to see me. There's no way they're going to know to have a relationship with me. There's no way they're going to see their darkness unless someone shows them the light. It says, you are the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said this. He says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light that people need to see, but He's not here. He's in heaven at the right hand of God, waiting to come back and get us. But when He left, He goes, I'm going to go away, but when I go, I'm going to put my Spirit inside of you. I'm going to dwell inside of you and abide inside of you so that when people need to see the light, they can see the light and they can see it in the child of God. Jesus came so we could see who God is and we could see what God is like. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us that until Jesus came, we only had glimpses of God. The Old Testament saints, and before Jesus came, they had glimpses of God's character. They could get a little glimpse of Him or a little shadow of Him over there. They could look in Scripture and say, we think this is what God is like because no man's seen God, so we don't really know exactly what He's like, and they got glimpses of God. But then Jesus came as God in the flesh. He didn't just come just to save us, so that's the main reason He came. He came to show us the character of God. He came to show us what it looked like for God to be in human form. Why? So that when He left and His Spirit lived and abided in us, we could look at Christ and say, that's how God looks in human form, and I'm in human form, and God lives inside of me, so that's how I'm supposed to live. That's how I'm supposed to act. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's how I'm supposed to treat people. Now we are the light of the world. When Jesus came, He was 100% God in the flesh. He was God in human form. Jesus came to make it possible to know about God and to make it possible for us to have a personal relationship with God. Then He pulls us in as He's talking on the Sermon on the Mount and He says, you, each and every one of you, are the only light that the world will see in their spiritual darkness. How is that possible? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessel. We have the treasure inside of us. In us abides that light. In us dwells that light. We are the earthen vessels that have the treasure of light that the world needs. He goes, in us we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul says God came to live inside of us. We are the earthen vessels, and Christ is a treasure that lives inside of us. And the extent that we allow Christ to manifest His life in and through us, we become light. The closer we are with Him, the more we fellowship with Him. And that's the thing. Being light is not a checklist. You don't go and say, I'm going to be light. I've got to do this thing and do that thing. Being light, you know, too many times the Pharisees did it. The law did it. We do it today. To be a good Christian, we have to do these things. Being a Christian is not a list of things you do. Having the light of Christ shine forth is not, well, I'm going to dress a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way, speak a certain way, watch certain things. Being the light is saying, I'm going to get to Christ, the source of all light. I'm going to fellowship with Him. I'm going to walk in intimacy with Him. And the closer we walk with Him, the more we become like Him. The closer we walk to Him, the closer we get to His light, the more His light shines out of us. You know why most of us are spiritually darkened? We don't shine our light because we don't spend time in the light. We don't spend time with Him. Too many Christians, we put our light on when we come to church on Sunday. We make sure we look the part on Sunday. Our light shining bright in the church of God, amen. We come in, everybody knows we're good, everybody knows we love Jesus, our light's shining bright. Then we go home and Monday morning we click that light off. You know, the church, we don't need to see your light. The world does. We don't need to see how good much you love God. Your neighbors do. Your family does. Your co-workers do. Your schoolmates do. They need to see your light. And too many of us, we put that fake light on. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night prayer meeting, man. Light shining bright in the house of God, but then we go out in the world and we dim it because we don't spend time with Him. We're not in His light, so we can't shine His light. You know what we are? We're like these solar-powered light flashlights. Anybody ever seen them things? Or, you know, here's a better example because I don't think they have them anymore. My brother's dog has these balls that glow in the dark. But to get them to glow in the dark, they have to be in the sun. He'll leave that thing outside on the roof all day long. So it soaks up those UV rays. Then when the sun goes down, man, that thing's bright. Throughout the night, it'll dim, and he'll take a flashlight and shine it on there. And as it gets light into it, as it absorbs those UV rays, it recharges itself and shines the light into the darkness. That's what we are. We need to spend time in the light of the glory of God, so that when we are in the darkness, we're shining forth. Amen. But too many of us, we never spend time in the light, so we never have any light to shine forth. Christ is living through us, and He allows those in darkness to see His light in us, so they can see who God is and what God is like. As Christ's followers, His radical life is to be pressed out through our life, that others may see the truth of Him and be invited into a personal relationship with Him. You, me, all of us together, we with Christ in us, we are the light. We will not become the light, we are the light. He says, you are the light that the world needs. The only Jesus that people in Roanoke, Virginia will see most of the time is God in us. They're not seeking Him out. The only way they'll see God is if we shine our light to them. So we see we are the light. Fourth word, fourth phrase, we are the light of the world. The word world there means the inhabitants of all the earth. It's the same word used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It means everybody. It means every person on earth. Means you, me, Roanoke, Virginia, state of Virginia, means America, means Africa, means everybody. He says, you are the only light that the entire world will see. It refers to the nations, refers to our country, to our state, to our city, but the world starts in the ordinary places of life, the ordinary places that we live our lives. We live in a city that is spiritually dark. Roanoke is a spiritually dark place. How will they see the light? We are the light. We're the light that Roanoke needs to see. The only way for Roanoke, Virginia to see God, the only way for them to get to know God is through us and through our lights. So how do we do this? Look in verse 16. Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we hear that and we think we have to go out and do things. Good works. Got to go out and show people things. Got to go out and make sure I look the right part and do the right thing and act the right way. And I got to do things to show people what they mean. But Jesus starts this verse. He says, let your light shine. He doesn't say go out and shine it. He says, just let it shine. Just let the light of God that's in you shine to the world. Shine to those dark places. He's saying, I have come to live in you that I might live through you, so your light will shine out so that people will see me in you. Let your light shine so people see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What are these good works? These good works, they are the radical way of life that Christ is living in me. It's not me performing something. It is me allowing Christ to manifest His light in and through me. That's why I gave the two examples He did earlier on in the verses. He says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. You don't put a city on a hill and light it up so people don't see it. You light the city up so people will know where it is and people can go there and people can look and say, there's the city I've got to get to. And so they go to that city. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He goes, you don't light a candle and hide it. You don't light a candle and make sure it's hidden so it doesn't give light. You light a candle so people can see. You light a candle so people can see what's going on. Your purpose is to let the light shine. You don't got to do anything to let the people see the candle, but light it. He says, let your light shine. You don't put a city on a hill to hide it. You don't light a candle to cover it. You do those things. You light a candle. You put a city on a hill so that people will see it when the light shines out. Christ did not come to live in us so that His light could be hidden from everyone around us. He came to live in us so His light could be shined to the world. The places, so He could live His life through us. The places, this places all the emphasis on our intimacy with Christ, not on our activity to please Him. As I pursue intimacy with Christ, He changes me from the inside so that what comes out of me is not me. It's not a better form of me, but what comes out of me is Christ in me. So that people don't see, oh man, Sean's changed his way, he's turned over a new leaf, he's a great guy now. But they say, man, Sean, there is Christ in Sean shining forth so they can see it. Roanoke is a hard place. The people of Roanoke are waiting for the gospel that they can see as much of the gospel that they can hear. You know, the world is tired of us telling them we have something better than they do, but then we live just like them. They are tired of us saying, we've got the life-changing God of heaven. We've got the Savior that'll change your life. That'll change everything about you. And they look at us and say, but you're no different than me. So why do I have to do anything that you... Why do I want what you have? Because what you have hasn't changed you. The world needs to see the light of Jesus Christ shining out of us. The relevance problem we're running into is that we're not offering anything different than the world has. We claim to have a relationship with a life-changing God, but we're no different than they are. His life in us should be attractive to the world. The word good there, it doesn't mean good. It means attractive. He says, your life, my light shining through you, should attract the world to me. Anyone know what an anglerfish is? Anybody seen Finding Nemo? Angler? Okay, y'all need to watch more movies. Anglerfish is a fish that lives deep down the ocean where there's no light down there. It's so dark. They live in the deep crevices of the ocean. And the anglerfish has this little thing on their head that comes out and it dangles right in front of their mouth. And right on the end of it is a light. It's like a GE 15-watt bulb or something. No. But it's a little bulb that can glow. And they keep that thing off until they're hungry. And then they'll let that thing glow. And you know what the light does? It attracts smaller fish to the light. And the smaller fish come to the light. And when they get to the light, there's a prey on the other side, and they eat the fish. They use the light to attract prey to them. The light of Christ in us should attract people, not to us, not to New Horizon, should attract them to Christ. They should look at us and say, you've got something different than I've got, and I want to know what it is. And we should attract people to us. Jesus says, let my light so shine in me, let my light so shine in you that my life is attractive to those living in darkness. William Barclay said this, he said, a Christianity whose effects stop at the church door is not much use to anyone. It should be even more visible in the ordinary activities of the world. Our Christianity should be visible in the way we treat a shop assistant across the counter, in the way we order a meal in a restaurant, in the way we treat our employees and serve our employer, in the way we play a game or drive or park a car, in the daily language we use and the daily literature we read. He continues, he said, a Christian should be just as much a Christian in the factory, the workshop, the shipyard, the mine, the schoolroom, the surgery, the kitchen, the golf course, the playing field, as he is in church. Jesus did not say, you are the light of the church. He said, you're the light of the world. And in a man's life, in the world, his Christianity should be evident to all. Is your Christianity evident to the world? Why was the world so attracted to Jesus? Because they saw in him a life they had never seen before. They didn't know much about it, but they knew that they wanted it. People should see a difference in us that causes them to want what we have. Whether you answer the call or not, here's what this means. Whether you're in full-time Christian service, whether you're called to the foreign mission field or not, what this means is you, yourself, you are a missionary. In the ordinary places you live, that's your mission field. Your work, your home, your school, those are the mission field. God has placed you where you are to be the light, to demonstrate His life to those living in darkness. William Barclay continued this. He said this, the Christian must be of necessity be a missionary. It is not by his words, but by his life that he will attract people to or repel them from Christianity. On the Christian there is laid a great responsibility, not of simply talking about Christ, but of showing men Christ, not just in words, but in life. This doesn't mean we don't share our faith. This doesn't mean we don't go out and knock on doors and invite people to church. And even if the Holy Spirit leads, you ask a question, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure to be with the Lord in heaven? But what this does mean is our life can be the greatest platform we have to share the gospel with others. When they see Christ in us, they should be attracted to Him. As others see Christ in me, they're attracted to Him. They see how we work, how we go to school, how we live in our homes, and they should want to have what we have. And that should give us the opportunity to share the gospel with them. We can share how they can have the life of Christ in. We can share how they can have the life of Christ in and through them. So how do we do this? How do we shine our light to the world? Here's a map. Right here at the Nuclear Fallout Center is New Horizon. That's where we're at right now. You know what those blue dots are? They're your homes. This is where everyone who is on our membership roll, this is where you live. I think I'm right there. I think that's Kelly and David over here. Here's the Colodas. Hey, we're all over the place. That's you in your neighborhoods. Here's another map. Here are the schools that our kids go to. Colleges and elementary schools and high schools. We got Cave Spring School down here. These are places I don't know where y'all work, so I couldn't put your workplace. But imagine if we put where you work up there. How full this map would be of places you have an opportunity to shine your light. See, what most of us as Christians think we're supposed to do is get people to hear so that we can shine the light here. Jesus didn't say, get them to church so you can shine the light in church. He goes, where you're at, where you live, that's where you shine your light. That's where you attract people to Christ. That's where you're supposed to be the Christian that shines your light the greatest. Amen. People don't need to see our light in church. They need to see our light where we live, where we work, where we go to school. Jesus says, the ordinary places you live, you work, you go to school, you shop, you do things, you go to the restaurant, the ordinary places of life, that's where you're supposed to shine your light. That's where you're supposed to show people what a life filled with Christ looks like. You Jesus said, each and every one of you, and you only, are the only hope that Roanoke has to see the light of Christ. How are we shining our light? Us being a light in our areas of influence is not intended to get people to come to church. It's intended to get people to come to our Savior. We are missionaries to be the light. Christ lives in us to manifest His life through us so He can show others His glory. Jesus said that we were the light of the world. How's your light shining today? Are you attracting people to Him? Or like too many of us, are you keeping your light hidden? Jesus says, you are the only light the world's ever going to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,